ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 26, entitled the Ayala Gita, Text Number 28. Teshu Nityam Mahabhaga Mahabhageshu Matkatha Sambhavanti Hi Ta Nrinam जुषताम् प्रकुनन्त्यघम् तेषु नित्यं महाभाग तेषु नित्यं महाभाग महाभागेषु मत्कथा महाभागेषु मत्कथा संभवन्ति हि तानृणां संभवन्ति हि तानृणां जुषतां प्रपुनन्त्यघम् जुषतां प्रपुनन्त्यघम् तेषु नित्यं हि तेषु नित्यं महाभाग महाभागेषु मत्कथा संभवन्ति हि तानृणां जुषतां प्रपुनन्त्यघम् तेषु नित्यं महाभाग महाभागेषु मत्कथा संभवन्ति हि तानृणां जुषताम प्रपुनन्त्यघम् तेषु अमंग देम नित्यम कॉन्स्टेंटली महाभाग ओ ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट उद्धव महाभागेषु अमंग दीज ग्रेटली फॉर्चुनेट डिवोटीज मत्कथा डिस्कशंस अबाउट मी Sambhavanti arise. He indeed. Ta these topics. Ninam of persons. Jushatam who are partaking in them. Prapunanti totally purify. Agham the sins. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees, there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins. Translation, please repeat. O greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees, there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins. Purport. Even if one does not receive direct instructions from a pure devotee, simply by hearing him glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be purified of all sinful reactions caused by one's involvement in illusion. Om Agnyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tegirim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपेभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो दिस चैप्टर आइला गीता, एज वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम लास्ट कपल ऑफ वीक्स, it tells the story of Pururava, that how he got attached and he learned lesson after that. So, and he learned by his experience. He got attached and he went through the whole process, and then he suffered basically in the end. But there was a benefit. Krishna is narrating this story especially because Krishna doesn't want to just tell stories of losers, you know. Here actually Pururava in the end he's a winner, because he of course made many mistakes, but in the end he got a lesson and he became detached. So and that's this detachment from material attachments is the goal of life. So after many hurdles and many sufferings, Pururava in the end he got the good result. So it is said, you know, it doesn't matter actually what you face, what matters is how you deal with it in the end. So we may get so many hardships in our life, but they may be because of our wrong decisions in this life or our sins in past life, but we shouldn't be like ashamed and always negative about it. We should try to be positive and learn from them, and we should learn from the examples, like example of Pururava, that how to deal with the hardships that we go through and how to deal with these attachments. So in the same way, Krishna tells the story of Pururava, and in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentions so many analogies and different stories just to instruct us that how to deal with different situations. So we shouldn't think that, oh, our problem is unique. No one else has dealt with such a problem before. No, actually, it's all same. It's all the same. It's as we know the story of Narad Muni, when Narad Muni is reciting his past the experience he got in past life. So in previous life, many kalpas. One kalpa is one day of Brahma, and Narad Muni, in this particular kalpa, he got birth as son of Brahma. But in previous life of Brahma, not previous day of Brahma, previous life of Brahma, the life of Brahma is like Mahakalpa. So previous life of Brahma, Narada was a Gandharva. Very beautiful features, very good voice. So he was always singing, and he was always surrounded by a pack of women who were praising him. And he was very attached to all these things. So, and in that situation, he got attached, and then he learned lesson also in a hard way. He was, you know, cursed to become son of a Shudra woman, and like that. So it's in the past, in previous kalpa, in the previous mahakalpa, it's all the same. We get the similar attachments, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, these stories are given to instruct us that how to deal with these attachments. So we shouldn't think that, you know, we cannot deal with it and no one knows the solution to our problems. No, it's like the example of a lawyer. A lawyer is like he deals with so many cases, case after case, like that. And then in the court, he refers to the past cases that he may have dealt with, or he refers to the cases from the law books that in the past may have happened. So, and he knows how to, you know, win the case of his client. And so the client approaches an experienced lawyer, and he has faith in him because he has got experience of so many cases, and similar way he can deal with this case. So the client shouldn't think that, oh, my case is totally, no one can deal with this and no one can give me a victory. No, the lawyers are, the experienced lawyers can see the past history and they can similarly deal with this case. So same way, these saintly people, and this particular verse is about association with such saintly devotees. So these devotees are so experienced. They are experienced about the goal of life, about the tattva, the about the knowledge of Krishna. So they are so experienced and they know how people get attached in the material world. So if we have our problem, so we can take guidance from such devotees like that. So here in this verse, particularly it says that how Krishna is telling Uddhava that if you engage in hearing and chanting of my glories, you can be purified of all the sins. So here the word used is agham, the last word of the shloka is agham. So agham means the sin. So and here in the purport it's given that how, what is the cause of the sin. So all of us have, of course, whoever is, has taken birth in Kali Yuga and whoever is in material world, they are not innocent. So no one is innocent. Everyone has a has an account of black of sins, has a big account of sins. So this agham. So here it's given in the purport that how you get, how you collect all these sins. So here it's given. All these sinful reactions are caused by one's involvement in illusion. So our involvement in illusion. So as soon as we as soon as we turn away from the reality of Krishna consciousness, we are involved in illusion. So as soon as we are involved in illusion, our, you know, intelligence is bewildered and we don't know what action to do. So the actions we do will be very sinful in that illusion, like that. So, and this is a fact that there are reactions and we are going to incur the punishment of those reactions. Like someone may say, you know, what's the proof? You know, I may have done something in previous life, and what's the proof? I may get the result or may not, you know. I can be lucky and avoid, you know. Maybe I don't get the reaction of the sins I have done in this life or last life. But no, there is a full management system there. There is a big management, the whole administration is there. So Krishna has appointed his representatives in the material world who deal with different cases. So one of such representative is Yamraj. So these descriptions are given in these scriptures, you know. But someone may say, "Oh, you're saying there is Yamraj, but you know, I don't believe." But you would have to believe when the Yamdutas will come and torture. So then you would have to believe. So better learn before that, you know, like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it's given that this organization is so so much, it's like a fact, and it runs so nicely, according systematically. It runs very systematically. This universal administration, runs very systematically. So Yamraj is there, and there are different living entities who take that position, and they deal with the sinful people. And there is Yamraj's assistant, Chitragupta. He will have this notebook and everything will be noted there. So we are being watched all the time. So But Yamraj is, of course, he is called Dharmaraj Yamraj. He is one of our Mahatmas. He is a great devotee. He is a very great devotee. And but his job is very, very thankless job. So what he has to do, all the time he has to punish everyone. But a devotee's heart is like, devotee wants to, you know, hear and chant the glories of Lord. But he has to just give orders to Yamdutas, go and bring him and send him to this particular hell. This is a very boring job for a pure devotee like him. Yes. So once he desired that, I want to preach the glories of Lord. So he, by the arrangement of the pastime, he had to go and preach. So a muni called Manduka Muni cursed Yamraj that you are not doing your duty nicely. There was a pastime, according to that he somehow gave a wrong decision, and Manduka Muni cursed him. You go, you become a Shudra, you are not eligible to be on this big post. So, and then he became a Shudra and he came to earth, and he was called in that life as Vidura. So, of course, birth as a Shudra is very abominable, very low birth. But his desire was fulfilled in that way. He came and he could preach the glories of Lord. Meanwhile, like there is a magistrate, he has to give so many decisions. So that position has to be always, there has to be someone to give decisions. So, similarly in this universal law system, when Yamraj went to earth to preach as Vidura, so that position was vacant. Now someone has to be there. So then there is one of the Adityas, his son of Aditi and Kashyapa Muni. His name was Aryama. So he presided over that position temporarily. So this is the universal, this is a fact. Like in any office you see, if there is a responsible position and someone goes on a holiday, someone else will take charge of the duties. It's not that it won't be done, his duties won't be done. So similarly, all these descriptions give us a glimpse that, oh no, this is a fact that this administration is there, administration of Yamraj, and our sins are being watched. So then Aryama was ruling there. And so all these descriptions, slowly by hearing from the from devotees, this cuts the layers of our illusion, and we, you know, come to our senses, oh, this is a fact, so better, you know, work according to the scriptures. So in Bhagavad Gita, actually there is a nice verse in third chapter. It says, evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartyati hayah aghayu indriyaramo mogam partha sajivati. So its translation is, my dear Arjun, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So here it says, if you don't follow the injunctions of the Vedas, you're basically leading a very sinful life, and those reactions will come when the time is ripe. So those reactions will come and will suffer. So better follow the Vedas and the scriptures and live a happy life and reach the goal of human life, which is coming out of the cycle of birth and death, like that. So, and in Bhagavad Gita, as we are, we saw this word akam means sin. So in Bhagavad Gita, few times Arjun is called as anagha. So anagha means the sinless, you know, because he is a pure devotee of Lord, so he is sinless. As Krishna says in the last chapter, that sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami ma shucha. So the devotees don't have to fear of those reactions, because Krishna says, I take care of those reactions. So now that we heard about Yamraj's position and how he tortures, so but we don't have to fear about that. As in 6th canto, Yamraj, when he was having a conversation with his assistants, he told them, never go near a Vaishnava like that. So devotees never fear from these sinful reactions, because all the time they take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna takes care of the sinful reactions like that. And another, in this verse which we are reading today, this word Mahabhaga is mentioned two times. Once it is said, oh greatly fortunate Uddhava. So Mahabhaga means greatly fortunate. So Uddhava, being a pure devotee, he is greatly fortunate. And then he says, in the association of such saintly devotees. So these saintly devotees are also Mahabhaga. They are also greatly fortunate. So here it's two times it has been stressed. So as we know in the scriptures, if anything has been said one time, it means it's a fact. And when it says something is said two times, means there has been stress given to that particular thing. So we should try to ponder over it, that what it means, you know. So here Uddhava is being addressed as greatly fortunate, and all the saintly devotees are being addressed as greatly fortunate. So devotee's position is actually a position in which we are fortunate. But generally, people, what is great fortune for them? You know, different things. If they win a lottery, or, you know, it's a great fortune, you know, win a 1 million lottery or something, or you get a, you know, you're working hard, you can get a car, that's after a few years, that's great fortune. And then, you know, generally people would work very hard for a whole year, you know, maybe 50 weeks, and then 2 weeks they go for a holiday. So that's a great fortune. You know, it's very, very low level of fortune, actually, if you see. So we heard about a family who was some time back, and they collected money for going to a holiday during Christmas, and everyone worked hard, the husband, wife, kids, everyone. And then when they went to a holiday, and they stayed in a hotel, and the whole week it rained, and they were they were distressed so much they committed suicide after that. So all these things which people actually think, this is real fortune, if I get this, if I get that. So this is not real fortune. Everything is temporary in this world. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Everything is temporary. So that's not a great fortune, to get a temporary thing for few years. It's not a great fortune. Great fortune is being a devotee. And another verse which is very important verse, which says, Brahman Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latabi. So this verse actually tells that what is who becomes fortunate. So Brahman Brahmite, after wandering in the whole universe from body to body, from planet to planet, Kon Bhagyavan Ji. Bhagyavan also means greatly fortunate, the fortunate. And Mahabhaga or Bhagyavan, same thing. So it's the fortunate. So who is really fortunate? Some who gets this bhakti lata bij, who gets the seed of devotional service. So he is actually really fortunate like that. So and what is the criteria? It says Kon Bhagyavan Ji, some fortunate being, you know, who gets the mercy of devotee, he gets this bhakti, seed of bhakti, like that. And then further in this verse, as we see, what happens, one who gets this seed of bhakti, they engage in chanting and hearing of Krishna's glories, and by that their sins are burned. So devotees always, as in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Machitta Madgat Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Kathyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. So devotees are always conversing about glories of Krishna, and in that they Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha, they are very satisfied, and they are taking pleasure in glorifying Krishna and hearing about his glories. So they take pleasure in that, and they are very satisfied. So day after day like we have this Bhagavatam class, day after day, we just do it and we relish it. We speak it or hear it, it's the same, we get the same benefit. Like that. We are getting purified of our sins. Here it says, prapunanti, totally purified. So we get totally purified after engaging in this activity again and again. We are totally purified. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we see, there's a nice example in which once at there was a solar eclipse going to happen, and all so many residents of whole Bharatvarsh, they were going to a holy place called Kurukshetra, and there Krishna went, all the Yadus, Yadavas went, and then from Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherds also came there, and then from Hastinapur, all the Kurus, they also came there. So it was a great occasion and they all met there. So when all the devotees meet, what do? They just engage in hearing and chanting like that. So then there's there were all these queens of Krishna, and there was Draupadi who came from Hastinapur. So Draupadi met with all the queens of Krishna, and they started conversing about Krishna, Krishna's glories. So Draupadi asked all the queens, "Oh, how, like, you know, if many women will meet." So she asked, "How did you got married to Krishna?" And each of them, they told the story how they got married to Krishna, like that. So they started conversing, and they were relishing it so much, talking about Krishna, and all were pure devotees of Krishna. So that one, there are, as we know, there are 16,108 wives, and there are 8 primary wives of Krishna in Dwarka. So out of them, one is Lakshmana. So when Lakshmana started telling the story how she got married to Krishna, it's very interesting story. So what happened? She told Draupadi that sometimes these kings, they arrange, if their daughter has to be married, they arrange a swayamvara in which, the kings will, the princes and kings who want to marry this girl, they will come and they will have to achieve something which is already set, and then they can marry whoever can fulfill the challenge set there in the swayamvara. So Lakshmana told Draupadi that in my swayamvara there was a similar challenge set up as it was in your swayamvara. So there was swayamvara ceremony for Draupadi as well, and Arjuna of course won that. And in the ceremony of the swayamvara ceremony of Lakshmana, Krishna won that challenge. So what happened? Lakshmana told Draupadi that as in your swayamvara there was a small target there, fish, which was on the top of a pillar, and the kings had to pierce that, the eye of the fish. And same way in my swayamvara, it was little hard. The same fish was there, but it was concealed on all sides. You couldn't see the fish. You could see that fish in the pot of water which was lying on the floor. So in Draupadi's swayamvara, the fish was partially covered, but in Lakshmana's swayamvara, it was fully covered, and you could only see the reflection in the water. So many people, and in Draupadi's swayamvara, Arjun could, see the fish and shoot the arrow, and he won. And then in Lakshmana's swayamvara, everyone tried. Some even couldn't, string the bow. And Arjun was also there actually in that swayamvara. And then he strung the bow and he looked up and he marked the target, and then he saw in the reflection in the water, and then he shot. But his arrow just grazed the target, couldn't perfectly hit it. And then there's acharyas who comment on this, that actually this challenge was so hard that no one other than Krishna could do it, because in this, to hit that target, you would have to simultaneously look up and look down, which is not possible by any mortal. So that's why Lakshmana's father was, of course, he wanted Krishna to marry his daughter, and he set such a target. And Krishna just looked once and he hit the target. So they were relishing these pastimes, these conversation about Krishna. So by hearing such pastimes, such unusual things, which you know we can't see in our day-to-day life, so it breaks those, burns those sins that we have done. So that's why here it says that Krishna is saying that about chanting and hearing my glories are certainly, you know, purified of all sins, whoever does this, like that. And we also have to understand that now here Krishna, now if a person says, oh, you hear my glories, you know, now I have told these glories in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you hear and you will get rid of sins. So it may seem that if someone else says, it's a proud position. If someone is saying, oh, you hear my glories now, you know. But here Krishna is saying that, but he is most humble actually. Because he knows by doing this, people will be benefited. That's why he's saying that, oh, you hear my glories. Because he's Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he has to instruct the living entities. So to instruct, as Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taught how to perform devotional service, how to correctly hear and how to correctly chant the holy name and how to correctly chant the glories of Krishna. And when devotees used to say, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are Krishna himself. So he used to close his ears and he used to say, oh, Vishnu, Vishnu. Because he was setting the example as a pure devotee. So he didn't want to hear that, oh, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So similarly, Krishna actually, he is most humble. So any whichever quality is there, that's to the full extent it's present in Krishna. So humility also, it's fully present in Krishna. Like that. So another, in the same, when at the Kurukshetra everyone met, so then there were great sages who came. So as soon as the sages came, Narada and Vyasadev, so Krishna started glorifying them, glorifying the sages, the Brahmanas. And those sages were astonished. They actually came there to meet Krishna and see Krishna. But as soon as they reached there, Krishna started glorifying them. Oh, you can purify everyone, and you know, even the great rivers can purify people after great time, but just by seeing the great sages you can get purification. So when Krishna started saying all this, so sages were bewildered and they were stunned. Oh, our most worshipful Lord is glorifying us. But then they understood, oh, he is doing that in his humility, because Krishna wants to set an example that, oh, how much respectful we should be to these sages, these great devotees, like that. So that's why, so this position that we have got of a practicing devotee, so we should understand the importance of association of these saintly devotees and take benefit of it, like that. So the last, yesterday's verse, today's verse, and next few verses, it's been stressed that how much important this association of devotees is, because then we can get rid of our sins. And as it says, you know, when your sins are gone, some sins are gone, so you become little lighter, and then you can relish bhakti like that. Initially, we are so much burdened by these sins and past reactions, it's very hard to, you know, perform bhakti. But if we are sincere, we get rid of these sins, and then we can relish and we can come to the platform of spontaneous bhakti, like that. So I would like to end there and ask if there is any questions or comments on what we discussed. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.